Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
When was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs blew out an opponent? They've won 14 straight games, which is, I think, one of the top 10 longest streaks in league history. It's their longest in franchise history. And yet, I don't remember the last time it did not go down to, say, the final quarter, or in the case of tonight's game, into overtime, the final drives for both the Chiefs and their opponent. One of the things that makes them so good when it's one and done, you have no other choice but to either win or be eliminated, is that they are in these situations all the damn time. I don't remember the last time they blew out a team. And there's certainly some flaws, which is why they don't blow out teams very often. But there's also a benefit to it. It's odd, right? Because we see the Detroit Lions stomping on teams. They put 51 on the Tennessee Titans last week. The Baltimore Ravens, they can routinely... They just trounce people. Even teams with winning records. I shouldn't say people. I should say teams. Even opponents with winning records. The Ravens will curb stomp them as well. You get that from teams. For heaven's sakes, even the New Orleans Saints went into Dallas and blew out the Cowboys in week two. That was the last time they won. But they did. And I honestly would have to go back and pore over the Chiefs' 14-game win streak. But I'm pretty sure the vast majority of these wins have been by fewer than 10 points. A bunch of them have been one-possession games. And yet they win. And you know my motto. Well, there's two. Well, there's three. Okay, so three. I'll just lay it on you. Number one, a win is a win is a win is a win. And I actually felt very validated. I was listening to the postgame show on Westwood One with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner said, no one's going to remember how you win these games. The only thing that matters is the dub. All right. I felt a little bit smart. Every now and then a blind squirrel finds a nut. Although right now, squirrels, very hot topic. We're not supposed to be talking about squirrels. Number two, you are what your record says you are. So those Lions fans out there who want to write to me, and I love interaction, bring it on, let's go. Those Lions fans out there who want to write to me and tell me the Lions would crush the Chiefs right now, well, there's no way to know, A, because they're not on the field. B, you can say whatever you want. It's one thing to believe your team is that much better. It's entirely another to beat the Chiefs because they are the toughest out in sports. And then three, here we are heading into Election Day. And for part of the country, it is already November 5th, 2024. You know, tried and true theory that I have espoused, oh, such a good word, on this show over and over again, We agree on nothing in this country except the NFL. And dogs. We agree on dogs. And on that note, hello. Welcome to the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. That's where you can find me. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, this always seems to happen. We get another candidate from our Monday night game. You can write it in if you like, or you can just vote. That's the theme. So you can vote for Monday MVP on either our Twix or our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. And it's always good to connect with you. Lots of peeps up watching football. And I think just a lot of nervous energy around what Tuesday represents for our country. I actually feel a little bit anticlimactic about it, not because I won't be glued to the TV coverage. In fact, I'm taking off our hump show, not working tomorrow night. It's my first time getting to watch the coverage with my hubs, and we're actually really looking forward to it. It'll be fun. And I'm a news junkie anyway, so even before I got married, I generally take off election night. But it'll be interesting just to watch it unfold. And like I said, a lot of nervous energy around the country because of what this represents. And really, the sports world kind of clears the deck. I'm not telling you there won't be any games, but a lot of the major sports anyway. For instance, the NBA, no games on Tuesday. They do it on purpose because they want their teams, coaches, staffers, administrators, they want them to have no excuses for not voting. And I dare say they want people to be involved in the process too. Now the NHL, I mean, half the league's Canadian, so they don't get it. I'm just kidding. I'm sure they get it. I hope they're voting. But the issue is, if you happen to vote on election day and you're not in town because you're on a road trip, well, then maybe you miss your opportunity. So it's a little anticlimactic for me because I voted last week. I don't know why, really. It's the first time I've ever voted early. I think I was a little nervous because I'd been hearing about the crazy long lines that they were expecting on election day all over the country. And actually, it was a 90-minute wait for us to vote last Wednesday. But we enjoyed it. We enjoyed standing out there, and it was nice sunshiny day with temps in the upper 60s and good vitamin D for this chick who works overnights. So it was fun. It was fun to be out there and to stand in line and to do our civic duty and to be proud of the fact that we cast our votes. And I hope that's the case for you guys too. If you haven't yet voted, I know my brother specifically waits until election day because he likes the idea of going with the masses to vote. I know a lot of the conversation around this election, the presidential election, is, are people going to vote or are they going to abstain from going to the polls? And I won't tell you it doesn't matter who you vote for, because of course it does. It matters. But what matters just as much is that you go and you vote and be part of it if you're eligible and if you're registered. And I know there are some places, not all places, but there are some places and times that you can actually vote on site. I don't know if that's the case for presidential elections, but I know there are ways that you can register. So check into it. I hope that you will vote. You know me, I don't talk politics. In fact, I get it from both sides. Producer Pete, it's kind of funny. People from each side of the aisle yell at me because they believe I'm representing the other side of the aisle, right? So every now and then I'll make a joke, because let's not take ourselves too seriously. So I'll make a joke about this or that. But yes, people will get mad at me. Oh, you're voting for da-da-da-da-da. You just endorsed da-da-da-da-da. And then I'll get it from the other side. You voted for da-da-da-da-da. You endorsed da-da-da-da-da. Well, yeah, there's absolutely no benefit to me as a sports talk show host who's trying to increase the audience and increase the reach and extend the platform to talk about politics, because if I share my beliefs with you, I sadly, instantly cut the audience in half.
Right.
Because it's something, some quality about the United States. And more recently, it's not always been this way. It used to be that you were allowed to disagree with your neighbor about views, issues, platforms, parties, who you vote for, and that's fine. But that is not the case anymore. I've actually had people, again, I've never once said who I vote for, what I believe, I mean, you can make whatever assumptions you like, but there are people just based on every now and then I'll say something about watching a particular news network. Oh my gosh, I've lost all respect for you. You watch a news network that's yada, yada, yada. I mean, people are crazy over this stuff. But I have friends that I've known for years, family members even, that are opposite of me on a lot of issues. And as much as I prefer what I believe and I prefer the values that I espouse and vote for, how in the world can you hate people based on who they vote for? That blows me away. Or end friendships over that. It just, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I wish it wasn't that way in our society.
It's gotten worse, I think, in the last decade in terms of people breaking friendships over politics.
Sad.
I mean, it makes no sense in the world. Those people that do that, I think, should look at themselves in the mirror. It's people have the right to have their opinion, and they should.
Right,
and
isn't that the point?
Right, and they should be able to have it, and we should be able to have a drink afterwards. That's it.
I think the idea of loving someone shouldn't just be I love you if you only agree with me, or if we agree on everything. No, I love you in spite of the fact that we're different. And in fact, and I say this all the time about sports, I love it when people disagree with me, because how freaking boring would sports be, or would our society be, if we were all the same? No, we don't need to be the same. I don't need you to agree with me on everything. It's kind of insulting, actually. It makes me feel like you're not really listening. So, yeah, I hope that that's the case, and at some point we can get back to that where it's all right if we disagree, and maybe I'll learn something from you if you don't see the same things that I see or hear the same things that I hear.
I think politics are cyclical, just like sports. I think we'll get to that point. It's not now, but we'll get there. But I hope so. I hope it's very soon, because I'm getting pretty tired of all this hostility.
Yeah. I used to be so optimistic. When I was younger, I was a total optimist. Now I'm much more cynical, although people still find me gullible and naive. So there's that, I guess. I don't have great hope for that, but I certainly understand why there are people that do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As producer Pete says, sports and life cyclical, except the cycle is still spinning around these Kansas City Chiefs. It's not moved on yet. The cycle is not spun somewhere else yet. The Chiefs are still very much the best team in the NFL. And like I said, I enjoy watching them get pushed. I enjoy watching them go toe-to-toe with teams who believe they figured out the best way to contain or limit the Chiefs, or to exploit some of their flaws. And they do have flaws. It's so true, right? We've heard Patrick Mahomes say over and over again that their team is not, well, the offense he talks about, the offense is not playing its best football. And he'd thrown interceptions in every single game to this point. They'd turned the ball over in every single game to this point. But I think if you watch this game against the Buccaneers, they're closer. It's not just the numbers that show you they're closer, though the numbers are a good frame for what we're seeing. And the fact that there were no interceptions thrown by Patrick Mahomes, the fact that once again they get pushed and they've got to find different ways to win. Kareem Hunt's only been there a few weeks. This is only the second game for DeAndre Hopkins in a Chiefs uniform, and his first game at Arrowhead Stadium. They're still incorporating new dudes into their offense. And you can tell they're working hard at it. They really are. But what we found out about the Chiefs is they always have another gear, and that comes from experience. I'm not speaking about speed or power or explosiveness. They have a next level. It's a little bit like AI, which is so critical in today's world. Their AI comes from the number of times they've been in close and late situations. They continue to morph, change, use the experience, use all the past games in which they went toe-to-toe with their opponents. And all of that, I think our brains are far better than anything that's computer-generated. Artificial intelligence, actual intelligence is superior, far superior. And when you can add a guy like DeAndre Hopkins with a quarterback such as Pat, who will find the guys who are open, He can extend, he can evade, even when he's on one leg, he still somehow manages to deliver. Not that he's perfect. Although in this game, he had a really high completion percentage. And you're adding a DeAndre Hopkins to that mix? Wowzers.
Mahomes in the pocket, steps up in pressure again. Throws it late down the middle of the left side, and it's going to be intercepted or caught. No, it's caught. Caught by DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins somehow caught the football. It looked like the Bucs were going to intercept it. DeAndre Hopkins for 35 yards. Mahomes just threw it up for grabs, basically, hoping D-Hop came down with a football.
It's funny that Mitch Holtis says that on Chiefs radio, that DeAndre Hopkins, well, first he thought it got intercepted, and that DeAndre Hopkins was winning a jump ball. That's actually not what Hopkins said. He was asked about it after the game, and he actually said he was the run who wasn't where he was supposed to be initially.
Had not just out there making a play. They played good defense. They had the first initial route covered. I might have ran the wrong route at first, and Pat just, he worked with me, scrambling.
Love that. We are going to talk to Josh Klingler, who is part of the Chiefs radio network. So he's on the sidelines when Mitch Holtis and Danan Hughes are up in the booth. We'll ask him how it's coming together so quickly between Mahomes and Hopkins. But yeah, high praise for Pat when it comes to his new wide receiver.
So to be able to have him down in the red zone, third down situations, he does a good job of filling out and finding those windows. He's kind of like Travis does. I think as he figures out the whole entire offense, he'll get even better because there's sometimes he's going places I'm like, man, there's a time and a place for that. But that's what makes him great. And then you give him a chance down the field and he makes a play. It goes from a play where it might have been a bad decision to a big time catch.
He's got a lot of trust in him. And you've seen DeAndre make those catches over his career. Get two great players thrown to each other, sometimes great things happen. And so it's not the way we drew it up, but it was a good finish to it.
See what I mean? DeAndre Hopkins might have run the wrong route. Pat says, yeah, at times he's out there doing his own thing. There's a time and place for that. That wasn't quite the moment, but Pat made a play because he extended it and waited for Hop to be in the right spot. And yeah, there were three Buccaneers defenders around him, and somehow the ball drops in to the breadbasket, if you will, exactly where it needed to be, where only Hopkins could catch it. And for a minute there, he was shielded on the TV cameras, and so you didn't actually know if he caught it. Pretty impressive. One of those jaw-dropping moments. And the very next snap, Hopkins was able to get into the end zone for the one-yard TD. Eight catches, I think he had nine targets, 86 yards, couple of touchdowns, a big addition for these Kansas City Chiefs. But the game, still a lot more real estate. Love to hear from you. We'll get into the late stages and the Buccaneers, who have now dropped three in a row. Even though they fight, they're always going to give you a fight, but they're without their top three wide receivers. Of course, Mike Evans is expected back potentially after the bye, but they won't have Chris Godwin the rest of the season. That means more work for Kate Otten. We saw Ryan Miller get into the action. They're trying to use the run game. I like Bucky Irving. He's a good addition. Of course, Rashad White as well. They were very controlled. They were measured. So they weren't going downfield quite as much. That vertical wasn't quite as much a part of the action like it would be with Godwin and Evans. But they were methodical. I like the game plan they put together, and it did push the Chiefs to the brink. Also, did you see Baker Mayfield's face when the coin flip went the way of the Chiefs to start overtime? It was one of those, a grimace on his face. I'm sure you can find it online. He knew. We just know. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, if you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, vote for something, will you? Let's go. Let's start voting. 855-212-4227. We'll have more from Kansas City coming up next as week 9 is in the books. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mayfield takes a shotgun snap, looks toward the end zone, throws toward the end zone. Caught ball! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Kate Otten! Kate Otten takes a looping rainbow throw over the
hands of a defender in the left corner of the end zone, and the Buccaneers retake the lead on the opening series of the second half.
Mahomes on third down and goal to go. Now a scramble to the right side. Now a flip it late, and it's caught, touchdown! Kansas City, and Mahomes is down. Mahomes is down on all fours as he flipped the ball forward to Samaje Perine for a touchdown. Kansas City, but at what price?
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
For a second there, it looked like the Chiefs' win streak might be dying a quick death. The fact that the Chiefs did not score in the third quarter at all. Instead, it was Cade Otton with an 11-yard touchdown reception from Baker. And it was a great floater over the top of the defense down to the big tight end in the back left corner of the end zone. Easy peasy. And then a field goal tacked on. And so by the end of the third quarter, well, it was a lead for Tampa Bay, 17-10. The calls with Gene Deckerhoff on Bucs Radio. But then a 12-play drive by Kansas City is the answer. Takes them into the fourth quarter, and Samaje Perine is able to catch just this awkward, weird shovel, underhand pitch. I don't know. Pat makes up the various angles and mechanisms by which he throws as he goes along. But as you hear with Mitch Holthus on Chiefs radio, he's pretty hobbled. And not only were we watching it, but if you were listening to the radio, so I was listening at the time to Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner, Kevin's describing how he has to get help to stand up. He can't put any weight on it. DeAndre Hopkins said after the game that just as much as the fans were nervous inside Arrowhead and watching at home, that's how they felt on the sideline is, oh no, he is our offense. He is our team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So yeah, Andy Reid has kind of given his perspective and Pat his perspective on that moment in the injury.
He might have the loosest ankles in America. I mean, it's ridiculous how he can come back from those things. And then he's mentally tough. Now, when he's in the tent, I can't go in the tent. So, I mean, it's like a private sanctum there. So I told Carson to be ready to go.
I was obviously running for the goal line, was committed to running the football, and at the last second saw Samaje, and so kind of awkwardly rolled the ankle a little bit. Definitely scary. I think it hurt more just because it's the same ankle I rolled last week. So it scared me a little bit, but once I kind of took my breath and kind of calmed down a little bit, ended up being not too bad. We were able to go in there, kind of get the respat, and go back on the football field.
Now, do you guys remember last year? I can't remember if it was playoff game or if it was, or maybe it was the year before. Goodness, they all blend together. But whenever it was that he was hobbled on one leg for the postseason, I think it was their first game, their first playoff game of the run. So I'll have to go back and remember it was 2 years ago. But do you remember where Patrick got really upset with Andy Reid because the injury happened close to halftime, and Andy said, you're going to get checked out. You're not going back in the game until you go down to the locker room and get checked out. And Pat was so mad that he took his jacket, he chucked it. You just never see that kind of anger toward his coach. They have such a good relationship. And so apparently Andy asked him, you know, are you sure you're ready to go back in, and actually wanted him to sit out and get checked out further.
I thought he was joking. He said it, and I was like, come on, like we're not doing this again. he trusts me. And once the doctors checked it out and I was able to get back and do the drops again, he let me get back on the field.
Now I'm going to have to look it up and find out if it was last year. Sometimes they all blend together, as you know. But yeah, he was dealing with kind of the one-legged issue in the playoffs and was having to work his way through, not being able to put full weight on it. And every now and then when he'd put his weight down, you'd see him hobble. And getting that angry at Andy Reid, who made him leave the field for a couple of series, that's the kind of stuff you used to see from Peyton Manning. He would not leave the field. In fact, not that you don't want to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. It's pretty good work if you can get it. But his backups would always talk about the fact that they would never see the field. He didn't care if you needed reps. You weren't getting on the field unless he was dead. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888. Why do I keep doing that? 855-212-4227. I'm making up a number. Let's talk to Leo, who's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, man, I just want to thank you. The dialogue tonight is great, man. We used to live in a country where we didn't have to hate each other when we didn't agree. There was a term called be able to agree to disagree. And the last time we flew on a plane, the last time I checked, you needed a left wing and a right wing to even fly in it. If you don't
Yes.
You're not going to fly. And what I also would say is this, is that it is going to be very fun to watch Patrick Mahomes have a guy with hands like Hopkins.
Mm.
And it's excellent. And Julie Freimer is the one you're talking about. That's the trainer that helped his high ankle sprain. It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, you're right, 22.
It was really 23, but remember, by the time the Super Bowl's played, it's the next year, mm-hmm. right? So it kind of throws it off, but it was not last year, because he got a little banged up last year, but she was masterful in getting him back with a high ankle sprain. This is more of a low ankle sprain that he's had the last couple weeks, but to have a Hopkins with those hands,
yeah.
he's had people like the guy from Green Bay who couldn't catch a cold, and he's throwing the ball, and he can't catch it. Hopkins is going to catch everything that comes his way. He's not very fast, but you got to want to like that. What I would also say is I really get sad when I watch Chicago because they've got a defensive coach, and I don't necessarily agree that you don't change the coach again because Eberflus is a defensive guy. Get either the guy from Detroit or the guy from Houston so that they can put him in an offensive system that works so that they're not dealing with the defensive coaches. He got hit six times. The system, it's either the system or the player. Last week, when he got hit six times, it wasn't the player. The system's not working. And I just got to tell you, man, you're nailing it tonight.
Thank you
for what you're doing, man. Keep it up. I love listening to you go, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Leo. Good to talk to you. Call anytime from Atlanta. Chicago, as much as I do agree that there needs to be some more development with Caleb Williams, I do think that they've started out and they're doing well, throwing a rookie into the mix. They've got some new pieces around him, still trying to have the whole thing gel. And also agree with Leo, you can't just keep changing things for the sake of changing things. If you change your coach and your GM every single time you have a new quarterback, goodness, I mean, where would that leave any of your culture building or anything like that? They're a work in progress in Chicago, but I do think they've got a real good foundation. It's not a bad thing to surround yourself with good people, though. I think he was referring to the Lions OC, Ben Johnson, right? Who was a hot coaching candidate last cycle, but didn't end up leaving Detroit because he felt like they had unfinished business. Also, there was some talk that he didn't love the ownership in Washington, which is where he was rumored to be the head candidate before they hired Dan Quinn. Let's also talk to DeVell, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? I listened to you a while, and that's first time caller.
Boom. Thank you.
All right. So kudos to you. I totally agree with your view on politics. You know, my grandmother told me all the time when I was a kid, never discuss religion, politics, or sex. And I didn't know what she meant then as a kid. But I see as a grown man now, I mean, because everybody thinks they know everything about those three subjects, and everybody thinks they're right about those three subjects.
True.
So I totally get it. You know, and kudos to Leo from Atlanta. I'm going to start using that airplane wing analogy now.
Isn't that great? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So now what I called about the Kansas City-Detroit debate, I've seen a lot of different power polls, power rankings
mm-hmm.
that actually had the Lions number one. Now, I'm a lifelong, life-struggling, all-suffering Detroit Lions fan. And so we haven't seen 2 years like this in my lifetime. So I'm definitely on board. I think we're going to go 15-2 this year, actually.
Look at you.
But here's the thing. Yes, I do. I was thinking 11-6 the beginning of the year because of the tougher schedule, but we were demolishing everybody, and other than the edge rusher, we don't have a weakness, you know. So here's the thing, though. As much as it pains me to say this, being a Lions fan lifelong, I got to put Kansas City still number one. For the simple reason, they're the defending two-time Super Bowl champ who hasn't lost yet. And imagine when they start clicking and hitting their stride, it's going to be very scary. I don't think they'll lose a game this year. And I was picking the Lions over Kansas City when they meet in the Super Bowl, but I think it's going to happen next year. This year, I just think it's Kansas City. Once they hit their stride, ain't nobody going to beat them.
It seems like they're starting to come together. As you point out, they've had a lot of moving parts. I just think one thing that makes them the toughest out in sports is the experience. And it's mostly Pat, of course. Right, but they've also got guys on the O-line. They've got Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. Now Kareem Hunt is back, though he didn't win the Super Bowls with them. But on the defensive side, too, you can overlook what it means to have a Nick Bolton and a Chris Jones and some of these other guys that have been on the biggest stage in sports more than once. And then Andy Reid and his coaching staff, that's something that you can, there's no shortcut to experience. You can't fake experience. And that's what gives them the edge in all these close games.
I think, and watching this, you know, being a lifelong Detroit Lions and Detroit sports fan, the Detroit Lions of this year, 2024, is reminding me an awful lot of the Detroit Pistons in 88. They were running roughshod over everybody. They finally exercised that Boston Celtics demon, but they couldn't get over L.A. And L.A. barely scraped by in the finals. But the next year, Detroit remained focused, started off 8-0, and didn't look back. Won wire to wire, won the championship.
Are you telling me this is the NFL's version of the Bad Boys?
I believe so, and I think next year we're going to run roughshod. We're running roughshod now.
You are, yes.
We may or may not win it this year. We're definitely going to run roughshod over the league next year.
I like it. No, I think they're doing pretty well. And one of the things that they have that Kansas City also has is the ability to win a variety of ways, and that's huge.
The stat line for the last two Lions, if you looked at the stat line of the last two Lions games, it looked like the teams dominated us when we actually dominated them. It was just that, you know, you got defensive takeaways and scoring on defense.
Time of possession, yeah.
Special teams. So we do it a multitude of ways.
Mm. Well, it's good to talk to you, DeVell. Thanks so much for your phone call.
All right.
See, Lions fans are excited. That's cool. I think Chiefs fans, while they get really excited if they go to games, they're kind of like, all right, let's go to the playoffs. Let's get there, and then we'll fire it up. But the Lions are going to be the sentimental favorite of so many fans, especially when their teams are eliminated, because it's such a cool story. It would be an amazing story, kind of like the Browns, though I don't think this is the year. At A-Law Radio, I hedged my bets a little bit there. Also on our Facebook page, vote for Monday MVP. Top of the hour, Josh Klingler will join us, Chiefs sideline reporter. But we got to get to the final drive for the Bucs and then overtime in the rain for the Chiefs and the Buccaneers Monday Night Football that wraps up week number 9. 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
The name was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Chiefs looking to remain perfect behind their newest 1-2 punch.
Mahomes calls an audible and backs up behind Creed Humphrey. Here comes a blitz. Quick pass is cut. Near side. Touchdown! Kansas City! DeAndre Hopkins on the quick left side slant. The second time D-Hop has tasted the sweet nectar of the Chiefs' kingdom end zone.
Chiefs outlast the Bucs in overtime, 30-24. Call courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. Kareem Hunt, 106 yards on the ground, including the game-winning 2-yard touchdown plunge. Patrick Mahomes, 291 yards in the air, 3 scores, 2 of them going to DeAndre Hopkins, who had 86 yards receiving. This despite Mahomes briefly going down with an ankle injury.
He might have the loosest ankles in America. It's ridiculous how he can come back from those things. And then he's mentally tough.
That's head coach Andy Reid. Travis Kelce, 14 catches, 100 yards. KC's now 8-0. Tampa fell to 4-5. Cowboys' Dak Prescott already ruled out for Sunday against the Eagles with a hamstring injury that will reportedly sideline him for several weeks. Saints going another direction. They fired Dennis Allen after 7 straight losses. Darren Rizzi taking over the head coaching duties on an interim basis. NBA Cavs now 8-0. Clipped the Bucks 116-114 behind 39 from Darius Garland. Pistons too much for the Lakers, 115-103. Worse, Anthony Davis left with a foot injury. Celtics roll the Hawks 123-93. Jazz outscore the Bulls 135-126. Rockets 109, Knicks 98. 97. Blazers overwhelmed the Pelicans 118-100. Suns escaped the Sixers 118-116 as Kevin Durant had 35. Clippers finished off the Spurs 113-104. Pacers outscored the Mavericks 134-127. Nikola Jokic triple-double. He had 28 points. Nuggets clipped the Raptors 121-119. T-Wolves dismissed the Hornets 114-93. Thunder 102. Magic 86. Warriors erased the Wizards 125-112. The Nets edged the Grizzlies 106-104. College hoops topped at Kansas. Dominated Howard 87-57. Alabama pounded UNC Asheville 110-54. Houston rocked Jackson State 97-40. Duke thumped Maine 96-62. And North Carolina took out Elon 96-70. I'm Marco Belletti.
You make the call. 855-212-4227. When you want to talk to us, call 855-212-4227.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
4:24 to go in the game. Mahomes calls an audible and backs up behind Creed Humphrey. Here comes a blitz. Quick passes. Cut. Near side. Touchdown. Kansas City. DeAndre Hopkins on the quick left side slant. The second time D-Hop has tasted the sweet nectar of the Chiefs Kingdom end zone.
Play action fake. Mayfield throws toward the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Touchdown Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A point away from a tying. Ryan Miller was open by at least 3 yards. And Mayfield sold the play action fake to Rashad White. Pulled the ball back and found number 81 in the end zone. The Bucs a point away from tying this Monday night game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that might have been the easy thing to do. Kick the ball, tie the game after Ryan Miller hauls in the TD catch with 27 seconds left to go in regulation. But Todd Bowles, did you consider going for two and the win at Arrowhead Stadium?
Very minor. We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So we had our shots. You know, we lost the game.
Trey Palmer holding a 19-yarder to put them right there on the goal line. Baker Mayfield goes 6 for 8 on that final drive and was hitting all of his targets. Yeah, we saw the best of what Baker has to offer with a limited receiving core around him.
A lot of resiliency by our guys. Guys up front played well. Everybody was kind of making plays, and a lot of guys that not necessarily had played a lot making plays for us. So, yeah, there's a lot of positives to take away from it, but you know, there's a certain point when you lose three in a row, how many positives are you going to take away from it before you really get sick of it?
But Todd Bowles was talking about the three-game losing skid after the game. We'll get his thoughts in a moment because it wasn't done. They were tied at 24 heading into overtime. Mentioned this just a few minutes ago when the Chiefs won the coin flip and Patrick Mahomes made the motion that they wanted to receive. The look and the body language for Baker Mayfield, like they just knew. Now, remember, these These coin flips are not automatic. Only half the time does the team that wins the coin flip in overtime actually go on to win the game. I can cite multiple examples of how it doesn't work. For instance, the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday, they had the ball first. They got down to a fourth down, and they chose to go for it as opposed to kicking the field goal. They thought maybe they could get the TD and end the game. It did not work out, but they had the ball first, gave it back to the Rams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. So Pat was locked in despite the rain, despite the fact that he was feeling a little bit hobbled on the ankle. He goes 5 for 5 on the drive in overtime. It's also a 70-yard march. It lasts, I think it was about 6 minutes and change. And ultimately, it was a Travis Kelce ball that got them inside the red zone, working with DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce and, of course, Kareem Hunt.
This is third down and one. At the 2-yard line, a touchdown, walks it off, handoff, Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt, and the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0, the only unbeaten team in the National Football League. 14 straight wins for the Chiefs Kingdom. That's an all-time Kansas City record and 7th in National Football League history.
That was a hard-fought game. I thought both teams played really well, and they've got one of the top offenses in the National Football League, and even with the guys that are banged up a little bit, but Todd does a great job with that whole football team.
They've got some uncanny ability, and a lot of it is because of Andy Reid and his coaching staff, to plug and play different people around Patrick Mahomes. I know that there's a lot that can be said about not having a rhythm, putting new guys out there who aren't familiar with the playbook, and we listened to Patrick talk about that. But to add a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who's such an experienced veteran and who can win the jump balls, who can extend the field, that's something they haven't had much this season. And then Kareem Hunt, 27 carries, 106 yards. He's bowling guys over, also hauls in the 11-yard catch at one point, right? So he's got the ability to add versatility, but also toughness to that backfield. It really is incredible, because even though Mahomes has told us they're not playing their best football, you look at the numbers and they're starting to trend up. And honestly, it doesn't matter whether it's raining. He said that after the game. It doesn't matter to me what the field's like. It doesn't matter to me what set of conditions you hand to us. We believe that we can excel in whatever the situation.
I pride myself on being able to throw in any condition. I think that's something that's an advantage at Arrowhead. And so if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's cold, if it's hot, whatever it is, I want to be the best thrower of the football on the football field. And I think that's why we want home field advantage. That's why we want the playoffs to come through Arrowhead, is because it's a special place and you have to be able to play in every environment.
My experience at Arrowhead for a big football game, a Big 12 championship in early December, it was so cold I couldn't feel my feet at halftime. I was standing on the sidelines for the first half and decided, nah, I'm going up in the press box, because my feet were, they felt like they were no longer part of my body. 855-212-4227. Toussaint is in Boston. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey, good evening. Or good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I have a couple things I wanted to say. I think the Broncos are going to cause some issues for the Chiefs next week because of the defense, because of the fact that he's still trying to figure out all of his weapons right now with the injuries that have happened with the Chiefs. And I'm a really big fan of Lamar Jackson, and I'm chomping at the bit for them to be able to meet the Chiefs again in the playoffs. What do you think about the chance that the Broncos have next week to upset the Chiefs, first of all? And secondly, do you think that the coach should bring Anthony Richardson back to start again? Thank you. I'll listen.
Okay, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for listening in Boston. The Anthony Richardson thing, honestly, I think you need to. I love Joe Flacco. He's a terrific story, and he's going to be steady Eddie. He can go out there with his experience and his knowledge of defense, and he can read what's happening, and he can deliver a ball on the money. Of course, there are going to be moments where you can figure out a way to rush him, and he's not going to be able to escape. That's not his game. I wouldn't say he has cinder blocks for feet, but close enough. And so there are ways to limit him, but he can pick apart a defense. He can throw an accurate ball. He can still get the ball downfield. The issue is you're not developing the young quarterback that you drafted last year. You actually don't know what you have yet, and he's never going to get better and grow into the role of franchise QB if he doesn't have the chance to play. Now, I get it. The Colts fancy themselves to be a team that can either win their division, the AFC South, at least that's how the season started out, or they believe that they can challenge for a wild card in the AFC, though it's very stiff competition. Now below 500, this is the moment where you have to decide. Are you playing for a wild card a year where you're likely not going to contend for a Super Bowl? Or are you going to throw your second year QB, but really a rookie? He hasn't even started a full season of games yet. He came in as a project, if you will, with so much raw athleticism and potential and all of that. But until they develop him, it's going to be a wild ride. They've got to teach him. And the best way to teach him and to figure out if you want to stick with him is to put him on the field. I don't think, based on wins and losses, there's no real difference between Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco. Again, you know what Flacco is. He's not as high risk, but he's also not as high reward. You need to develop Richardson in order to determine if you're going to keep him or move on from him before, you know, that deadline, the rookie deadline is staring you in the face. So I think they need to go back to him and work with him. That's how he's going to get better. And you've got Jonathan Taylor. You've got a strong defense. Maybe you give up a win or two, but this is big time. It's about your future. As for the Broncos and the Chiefs, AFC West battles are always nasty. having grown up watching that division, to be sure, recognizing that the Broncos defense, the Ravens game notwithstanding, is really tough. They're a team that absolutely will push the Chiefs. And I think that the physical nature, they're going to try to get to Patrick Mahomes. That's kind of the deal, right? So, yeah, they know each other really well. Now, the Chiefs have had the edge in the AFC West for a long time. And so we'll see whether or not Sean Payton can come up with any wrinkles. But you've got some stars on that Broncos defense, like Pat Surtain, of course, if he's healthy and he can be out there and play. So, yeah, rivalry games inside divisions, you kind of throw everything else out. And I hope the Broncos do give the Chiefs a great test. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk Wayfair. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.